everyone, and welcome to this week's Devon Insight telephone speaker event. We're delighted to have you join us again today. Today we are really lucky to be joined by Jason Sculthorpe, who is a project coordinator for RNID, which is the Royal National Institute for the Deaf. And is it, Jason, is it also including those with hearing loss?
Yep. So it's all really hearing loss. I'll explain that in a minute.
Perfect. Okay. And Jason covers Devon and Cornwall. So a big area that he covers. Just so that you're aware, you heard the message as you entered the room, and you are muted, so you can hear us, but we can't hear you, and that is so that you're able to hear Jason clearly without any background interference or noise. We will, at the end, if we have time, open up the room for questions. And if people can just have a little kind of like, be aware and have a think about any background noise they may have in the room that they're sitting in. So if there's TVs playing or radios or kind of whatever, because it makes it hard for us to hear you if there's background noise happening. Okay, on that note, Jason, thank you very much for joining us today, and it would be great if you could talk about the services that you provide.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks very much. Can I just ask, if I speak like this, is this a good volume?
It sounds fine to me.
Yeah, great. Because I know, you know, obviously some people out there joining might actually have a little bit of hearing loss themselves and thinking, I might be able to get some tips today. So I'll try and speak as clearly as possible, but as long as everything seems okay, I'll carry on sort of at this level.
Wonderful.
Great. Well, thanks for having me. As you said, I'm from the RNID, the Royal National Institute for Deaf People, but as you touched on, it does confuse people a bit, and that's part of the branding, is that you think that it's about deaf people, which sounds logical, but actually it's really about hearing loss. And I'll tell you the difference. There's a spectrum. You know, hearing loss is a spectrum of what you can and can't hear. So you can have people on the lower end of the spectrum that only has mild hearing loss and struggles maybe just a bit of the day in certain circumstances, speech or something like that, all the way up through the spectrum to somebody that's born deaf, born completely deaf, can't hear a thing. So the RNID, the name itself, does mislead, I think, because it makes it sound like it's all about deaf people, which to me means you literally can't hear anything. You're stone deaf. That's what I think of as deaf. But actually, when you look at it, most people have actually just got some sort of hearing loss on the spectrum somewhere along that way. So we're going to be talking about everybody on that spectrum, whether you've got mild or really, you know, really deaf sort of levels. Now, the RNID, we've been around for over 100 years now. We're, you know, probably the biggest, largest, well-known hearing loss charity, you know, in the UK. There are other ones, but I think we're, you know, the Royal National one. So it's the big one, backed by various members of the royal family and whatnot. It was, up until recently, the Duke of Edinburgh, because his mum was deaf. So he took it upon himself to be our patron. But I think it's recently changed to possibly Andrew, I think. I'm not sure, but it's one of the other royals anyway. So, but also, we not only hearing loss, but also tinnitus. And I'll come into that a bit later, because it's a type of hearing loss, but it's a strange little thing is tinnitus. So I'll explain that a bit more later. But the RNID, we still give advice to the public. There's one of our main things to do, you know, like on display stands, or, you know, you might find us at the library doing a little talk or something like that in the community. We help people with their hearing aids in some locations around the UK, so you can actually come to a drop-in and actually have a look at your hearing aids for you. We do campaigns, national campaigns with big PR behind it and big commercials now and again. We do a lot of biomedical research into the causes of hearing loss, and actually we're working on that as we speak with different things that are coming along technology-wise to help people. We fundraise, and we have a membership, so you can join as a member if you want to. And we also at the moment run a care and support situation whereby people in care homes, we have a number of care homes around the country, but that's, I think, soon not going to exist. That's going to be outsourced somewhere else. But we still are the main thrust, if you like, of anything to do with hearing loss and deafness in the country. So you can come to us, and at the end I'll give you all the contact details.
Lovely.
Now, we roughly in 2015 there was about 11 million people with hearing loss. That's about one in six. Now we're at about 12 million people with hearing loss, which is about one in five. And in 2035, just a few years' time, we think that's going to go up to about 16 million. So it's on the increase, unfortunately. It's a weird one to get your head around, but England is the biggest, because it's the biggest area of the UK. It's got the most people in it. So we're not sure why it's going up, but I mean, some of the theories are that in the old days, so to speak, it would always be somebody over 50 or 60 or 70 that's getting hearing loss, and it would be like, oh dear, turn your hearing aids up and all that. We made quite a joke of it, really, in the old days. But now we're finding that the spikes in people getting it are coming down. The age ranges into the 30s and the 40s now, people that are getting hearing loss. So it's a bit worrying, and I think it's possibly due to the fact that when in the last 20, 30 years, youngsters have tended to wear earphones, listen to their music, and going to concerts a lot more, and people have a lot more, they're more affluent now, and they can afford to go out and go to big theatre productions and concerts and things, and I think they just basically, general life exposes us to more noise now. And especially the earbuds and the earphones, playing online gaming and all that kind of stuff, you're constantly battering your ears with sound as a youngster now, more so than when I was a kid. We just had normal things to do, if you like, at school and stuff like that. You would be exposed to sound as you would any time in your life, but nowadays I think you kind of like, it's like a battering ram constantly at it. And it's not just about the volume, it's about the longevity, the amount of time you spend actually listening to stuff. All the time that is wearing your ears out. They've only got a finite amount of use in them before the gubbins inside will start to degenerate. So you should really use it sparingly, if you know what I mean. And kids today with the earbuds on, they don't even take them out when they go to a checkout, a supermarket or anything like that. If you watch them, you'll probably find that you'll start noticing it more now, I've said. But it's like they just don't take them out, a lot of them. So I think it's that constant battering, It's not just about the volume. People in the UK that have unaddressed hearing loss as well, because a lot of people don't come forward, is 4 million. Another 4 million, we think, estimated, that haven't even come forward as well. So what we're saying is 11 or 12 million is actually an underestimate of what's actually probably out there. A lot of people consequently use British Sign Language. There are 120,000 people use British Sign Language. And they reckon, again, an estimate, 500,000 people, half a million people, aren't hearing well enough to actually use a phone. So that's quite distressing when you think, if you're trying to reach somebody in an emergency situation. And they think that it can take 10 years before somebody that realizes they might have a bit of hearing loss and then doing something about that can take 10 years. Whereas if you think about spectacles, people often will get glasses quite quick after they realise that they've been to their checkup and they say, well, you can't really see number plates or you can't see so-and-so anymore. And they tend to get glasses or correct their sight a lot quicker than that. But for some reason, there's a lot of stigma still attached to hearing loss, which we're trying to bash down to actually make it more normal. It's just as normal as eyesight going. It's just a different sense, you know. So there's no reason why it should take up to 10 years to do something about it. And we're trying to work on that and make sure people actually do sort it out quick. The types of hearing loss that you can have basically fall into two types. One is more like a physical conduction of the sound, the conductivity of your actual ear apparatus. You know, how can that sound, an alarm going off or somebody talking, actually get into your physical ear, down the channel, through the membranes and through those little tiny bones and up into your nerves and into your brain? There's a blockage somewhere along the way. So that conductive type of hearing loss is fairly common. So it's things like wax blocking it is a, you would hope if you go see the doctor and they tell you you've got wax, that'll be a bit of a relief, because that's one of the easiest things to sort out. You can have a perforated eardrum, which will stop the sound from being transmitted as well. You can have an infection, which swells up and that blocks the amount of space available for the sound to travel through. So there's those sorts of physical things. You can bang your head, riding a motorbike, fall off, and the tiny little bones that transmit the sound inside the inner ear could be knocked out of whack, and they could cause it as well. So there's that physical side of things, which you can often fix. You know, you can remove wax, you can clear up an infection with some pills and whatnot, and you can sometimes actually repair those little bones as well. They do these amazing operations. But the second type of hearing loss is the one that most people have, and that's the sensory neural. I'll explain that. Sensory, as in it's a sensory, and neural meaning brain. So it's the combination of the apparatus, your sense apparatus in your ear, linking it to the brain. And the main cause of that is aging. The biggest cause of hearing loss in the public is just everyday age-related hearing loss. So it doesn't make it any better, but just that it's common, but it is the most common form. The rest of them could be that you've had noise exposure, really loud, you might have worked in a really noisy environment. Some medications can cause it. You can have another type of head injury. You could have had it from birth. Sometimes if your mum has given birth but she's had a difficult birth, it can cause it, some of the pills that she might be on. But generally the main type is that degeneration of the inner ear, what we call the cochlea. The cochlea is like a snail shaped part of the inner ear, maybe about as big as your little fingernail, something like that sort of size. And it's amazingly designed, just like a snail, and then inside that snail is, all the way around on the inside edges, is these tiny, tiny cellular level hairs, tiny little hairs, not like the hairs on your head, but actually microscopic hairs. And those hairs actually take the sound coming in through your ear, through the membranes and the little bones, and then that waggles the little hairs inside your cochlea, and that sends the signal into an electrical signal, which then passes it up to your nerves into the side of your brain where hearing is deciphered. But if your cochlea has been used and abused for many years, those tiny little hairs, a bit like when you walk over the same part of the carpet when you come in through the front door, there's always a little patch inside the front door that's worn out more than the rest of it. And that's just what happens to those hairs inside your ear. They fall over, they flatten down, and then they're no longer able to wiggle about and transmit that sound into your brain. And that is common. That is what age-related hearing loss generally is. It's the degeneration of the cochlear hairs inside that, which causes that. So we are working on that biomedical research that we're funding now through people's donations. We then give that to PhD students and doctors who are actually at the heart of this issue, and we fund them to do different investigations into how we can probably prevent those hair cells from either falling over in the first place, or if they've fallen over, can we introduce some sort of gene therapy or a pill that can actually target those hair cells and make them regrow, stand up again, or something along those lines, so that would cure a big majority of people's hearing loss out there. That would be a game changer. You know, if you could get to sort of like 60, notice that you're getting a bit of hearing loss, take a course of medication or a gene therapy of some kind, and then that's it. That would be amazing. You know, we would solve a lot of the world's hearing problems that way. So that's what the two types of hearing losses fall under, the sort of physical side of things, and then the brain and the sensory side of things. But everyone, it doesn't matter what type you've got, everyone is unique. So one person's type of hearing loss might be the same type of hearing loss as somebody else's, but they will perceive it differently, that it will be on different levels, they will have a different loss, and they will experience that in a different way. So some people will get away with just a very small hearing aid, which will, you know, boost the signal to your ear. Some will have to have a cochlear implant, which is, you know, inside the head, picking up, it misses the ear altogether and goes straight from the outside world straight into the nerves that go up to your brain. So it misses out the ear altogether. That's the amazing thing. It's something that's implanted straight into the cochlea where these little hair cells are, and it replaces what that does and sends a signal straight up to your brain without the actual, you know, the floppy bit on the outside of your head called your ear, without that even needing to be engaged. So that's quite good, and everybody's on different levels now. So, you know, you might be able to get away with a small hearing aid, or you might have to have more serious investigations into it. But everybody will be different, and luckily there's different things you can do for different, you know, types of hearing loss. What else are we going to say? How might the hearing loss affect you? Well, some people say, oh, it doesn't affect me, you know, I'm all right, I can live with it. Yeah, my boss is fine with it, and this, that, and the other. And a lot of people, like we say, it takes 10 years for them to actually realise that they need to do something about it. They'll make all sorts of excuses why they don't need it. But actually, when you look at it, hearing loss affects every part of your life. So it's really good to do something about it early. There isn't an area that we looked at that you can't think hearing affects. So relationships, even. I have some volunteers that say when they started to get hearing loss, it put a bit of a rift between them and their family, because the family got a bit fed up with sort of saying A, or not, you know, being able to engage with them or talk to them like they used to. And they get frustrated that the person is going more deaf. And if they don't do anything about it, the family can see that as a bit of a, well, you're not doing anything about it, which is affecting us. And there can be animosity build-up. And, you know, some of my volunteers have actually mentioned that they were on the cusp of getting divorced from their partners because they just couldn't understand each other anymore. And if you're not willing to do anything about it, it can put that level of pressure on you. Same with social interactions. You know, if you're down the pub and you're talking to your mates and you're not joining in with the conversation anymore like you used to, and you're not laughing at people's jokes, or you're not telling that joke you always told, it can rub off, you know. And it's not just about your hearing loss, it's actually about how that affects different parts of your life. So leisure, if you was to go swimming and you had a swimming coach that was shouting orders at you to do this and that, and then you can't hear half the time and they're getting frustrated with you, and or you're not listening, or maybe there's a danger in that, you know, you're not listening to the safety issues or something like that. Employment at work, I have a lot of people call me, say I work at a call centre and I have to wear earphones all day, and I'm starting to struggle with what people are telling me down the line now, so I can't help them as like I used to do. So, you know, it can really affect all angles of your life. When you just go and pay at the petrol pumps and they say £50, sir, madam, and you think they said £30, you give them the wrong amount of money, then they're looking at you a bit like, well, what's this, where's the other £20, you know. So you actually, when you start looking at it, it can affect pretty much everything that you do. And so really, to sort it out early is really a good thing to do. Now, COVID obviously hasn't made this any better, because with social isolating going on and people trying to keep out of each other's way and using other different types of communication, it just adds to that pressure that people are under right now that have hearing loss. It's just another barrier to being able to communicate properly. So we'll come on to that a bit later. But another thing to remember is that when you're communicating with people with hearing loss, there's certain things you should and shouldn't do, you know, as rules, if you like. They are to speak more clearly, try and face them. So this is practical tips, if you like. So if you've got somebody that you live with hearing loss, you know, these are things that you should remember, because it might just make that communication process a lot easier than it is at the moment. And there's different tips that you can use for face-to-face, on the phone, or even making Zoom calls, you know, these video calls. There's tips you can give people. So when you're just, you know, there in the room with them, don't turn away and start the washing up while you're still talking to them, because they often lip read. So lip reading is a big part of their armoury. So if they can't see your lips, they'll often start saying "A" a lot more then. So just make sure you face them and you are, you know, in a well-lit area so they can actually see your face and the expressions you're making and things like that. Get to the point. Make the point clear. Like, you know, because some people are severely hard of hearing, and even with hearing aids, they still find it a struggle to follow on with conversations, because your brain is rapidly trying to piece this conversation together, you know, filling in the blanks that it didn't actually physically hear with something that it thinks might be there. So to give them as much help as possible, you try and aid them with, you know, different ways of doing it. So like basically let them see that who you are, what you're talking about, what the subject is, to give their brain kind of a chance to sort of add its own words in where the gaps appear. They'll know that because you said a cup of tea, they'll know that you probably said sugar after that or milk. So your brain is clever and it can piece these things together, but it has to obviously have a lot of help. So try and cut out the background noise. This is what Kathy said at the beginning. It makes it difficult, even if you haven't got hearing loss. If there's something happening and there's background noise, somebody eating a packet of crisps, even people without hearing loss will say, that's quite hard to understand what's going on with that rustling in the background. Now, when you've got hearing loss, it is the biggest problem that people have with hearing loss is noise in the background. So they can go to the restaurant and a pub or whatever. They're trying to speak to somebody right next door to them and they just cannot hear because this background din takes over from the normal, you know, speech, because your brain is hearing everything at once and it's trying to decipher which bits are important and which bits aren't. But with the background noise, it's almost impossible to distinguish speech from a stereo in the corner, etc., etc. So it's really important to, if you're going to a restaurant with somebody and you know that they're going to struggle, put them in a position on the table where they can see everybody and maybe with their back to a wall or something where the noise can't at least come from behind them. To block out some of the noise, or put them in a corner, but not in a negative way. Put them in a corner to block the sound rather than to just shove them out of the way, if you like. We've got to keep people engaged, even if they've got hearing loss. So don't make excuses and just shove them in a corner. Actually bring them forward and say, look, everybody, can we just, you know, amend what we do a little bit so that Bill and Ted and Jean and everybody else can hear what we're saying. So just a bit of common sense, really, and speaks clearly and say words that they'll understand. Now, if you're on the phone, some of it's difficult because, you know, you obviously can't see somebody's lips moving when you're on a phone. So I dare say there's people listening right now that because they can't see my face, like on a Zoom call or face-to-face, you're not able to lip read this call. So therefore, you might be finding it more difficult than, you know, other ways of getting this information. So on the phone call, you always make sure that you know, ask them, is there another way that we can do this? Because if so, we can just, you know, it's not going to hurt to wait a couple of days until I see you. So, you know, just put the call off if they can't hear, because there's no point if they just can't hear you. So just have a think about that. Obviously speak even more clearly and slow down just a little bit to allow that, you know, lip reading that's not there, that brain will need that extra little bit of time to be able to catch up with what's going on. Just make sure they've got their phone volume turned up a bit more. And sometimes the phone will have tone buttons, so they can put the tone up a little bit more to hear the clearer speech. So just little tips like that, really. So also, you know...
Jason, can I just jump in here? Can I just ask, is there a kind of any specific phones that are more useful for people with hearing loss?
Yeah, definitely. If you want, I mean, I'm not a salesman and we're not for profit, this charity that we run, but we also have, because it's a common problem with people with hearing loss, is how am I going to communicate? We obviously have taken it on board to actually help people understand, you know, how you can use different devices as well. And so we actually we've had for many years an online shop that sells anything you need, you know, in the hearing world, any device. There's many different types, including phones, mobile phones, landlines, and those cordless landlines. And like I say, we do it on a not-for-profit basis, so it's just part of the charity, just to help people, really. But look, last year, it was becoming unprofitable, or not. It was costing us more to run it than what we were actually making. We weren't breaking even. So we kind of gave that facility for people to use on our website over to a company, a little family company, but it's a very good one. And they do that for us now, basically. And if you go on our website at the rnid.org.uk, I'll give these again at the end. You can go on our website and look up products or assistive equipment or telephones or something like that. Search it out, and it will tell you, go to this website, and it will send you the link through to this other company now that runs it for us. But you can be rest assured that it's all tried and tested, and everything has been cleared by us, so that we don't want people going on eBay and places like this and looking up some marvelous bit of kit for a fiver, and lo and behold, it doesn't work very well when they get it. So we make sure that all of the products on our website and our colleagues' websites now are all tried and tested. And if you look on there, you will see a whole range of telephones. And to answer your question more directly now, yes, there are. And all the phones on our website have features built into them that will aid people with hearing loss. So they'll be louder than most phones. There'll be a volume button that will go up higher than most other phones. There'll be a tone button, which you'll be able to put the tone up clearer, because speech is often made up of high-pitched sounds. And those hairs inside your cochlea, the first hair cells to fall over, are the ones that can pick up high-pitched sounds. I think 90% of that type of age-related hearing loss, the high-pitched sounds go first. So it's very important, actually. Sometimes it's not about volume, it's about the tone. That's really important. To be able to turn that high-pitched frequency tone up on your phone will help you understand speech a lot more. So they'll all have a tone button, a volume button, an extra button. Sometimes they even have a volume boost button, which, you know, if you're really struggling, you can press this boost button and, you know, it's a bit like the James Bond button where people shoot out the top of his car. You can put it on and it really boosts the phone's loudness. So if you're really hard of hearing and you're struggling even with the phone right up against your ear, there's other ways of doing it. That's what I would suggest. Just get one of the phones that are more adapted to that. Now, on a more technical level, you can also get phones, and I think all of the ones on this website, they're called Con Evans. Con Evans are this company that we work alongside now. We're partnered up with Con Evans. All of the phones, I asked them a query once because somebody asked me, and they said, now, all of our phones are also compatible with hearing aids. Because that's really handy. If you've got a hearing aid and it's got one of the T switch or the loop switch, whichever that you call it on yours, there's usually a button. Not everybody's hearing aids have got it, but a lot of people, if you're quite hard of hearing, the doctor will say, do you want the loop setting put on your hearing aid as well? Now, if you've got one of those, it's a bit like how Bluetooth works. It's like a wireless communication between your hearing aid and the device that you want to talk to. So a lot of their phones, I think most, all of them, in fact, have the ability to connect directly to your hearing aids. And I would recommend those because instead of you having to hear the sound coming out, you know, through your ears as you normally would, the sound, when you connect these two up and link them together, the sound will come from your phone straight into your hearing aids, pushing that sound really down your ear to make it really clear. Now, this is for people with moderate to high hearing loss. If you've got medium to low hearing loss, so it's not that much of a problem, you probably won't need most of those features. But for people that really are struggling, in especially with phone calls, especially if I have a problem, if I ring a call centre about my insurance or something like that, and it just happens to go through to a person that their first language maybe not English, my brain can't quite hear what they're saying because it's looking for those usual cues that you get in day-to-day conversation, but when a different language comes into it and a different broken English comes into it, the brain can't quite piece that together. So I struggle on the phones, and so I put my volume up really loudly, and sometimes I actually put my earphones on so that the sound comes straight into my ears, and I have noise-cancelling earphones which block out the background noise as well. So That's what I use. I find that good because my hearing aids, I've got hearing aids as well, but they haven't got the T setting or the loop setting, so I can't connect directly with devices that way. But if you have, I would recommend you do that. Just press the T setting button on your hearing aid and press the corresponding button on your telephone, and when the telephone goes off, it will go straight into your ears. And that works the same for the mobile phones as well. So if your mobile phone's in your pocket and it goes off, if you answer it, the sound, you don't have to put the phone up to your ear, the sound will come up to your hearing aids automatically if you've linked them together. So that's what I would recommend. Anything else on that while I'm on it?
No, that's really interesting. Are those types of hearing aids available on the NHS or do they need to be purchased privately?
No, at the moment we're at this kind of a grey area, not black and white in either direction. There's a grey area at the moment of NHS giving out Bluetooth enabled hearing aids. In Australia, they've already done loads of research into this, and they've started to give out Bluetooth enabled hearing aids this last year or so, and that means Bluetooth is going to is the successor to hearing aids with the T setting on. The T setting, you know, has been around for, I don't know, probably 20-30 years, which was like a wireless loop. That's what they call it. It's like a radio wave. I don't understand all the ins and outs of all the technology, but it did the same thing. It communicated with things invisibly, so there was no wires connecting. But obviously, the T setting is like the old version, really, of what Bluetooth is, where Bluetooth is also an invisible signal that between devices, but it's the more modern version. It's all digital now. And, you know, if you get a hearing aid with the T setting, the old connection, obviously that's not web-based. It's not, you aren't able to connect with your phone using the internet or anything like that, because it's just based on a wireless connection, like a radio wave type thing. But the best, the new ones that are coming out now, and I spoke to Derriford Hospital a few weeks back, that they are trialing now the benefits of using NHS hearing aids with this added Bluetooth function. So we're like 2 or 3 years behind where Australia is already, you know, giving them out. And it sounds like it might be the way forward, because if you think about it, not only could you use the Bluetooth setting to connect with your mobile phone or any device that you've got, you know, that like the television or anything. You can also, and this is the really good bit, is that you can put them into a docking station and connect that docking station up to a laptop or a computer with a USB cable. And then when you run the the audiologist people up and said, my hearing aids don't seem to be working anymore, or they're not loud enough, they can just say to you, oh, hello, madam. Yes, could you just put them into your docking station, please? You put them on your computer, and they can control from wherever they are in the country, or in fact in the world, if they're on the web. So this is what they're doing in Australia. They're able to do consultations with patients over the internet, because they don't need to physically be there in front of them. So if you've got a problem that you actually do need to see somebody face to face, they'll still do it. But Derriford are trialing now these Bluetooth ones where they can do appointments over the internet. And this was before COVID. It's nothing to do with COVID, like, you know, trying to get people to keep away from each other. This was happening anyway. So hopefully one day, as we speak, I say it's a grey area, because some people are starting to get these new ones and some people aren't. And I think it's going to be another year or two before everybody's going to start going that way. So at the moment, it might be worth asking, if you do go to see your doctor and they say, yeah, we'll send you to the audiologist, and the audiologist, you know, starts to talk about your ears and tests you and starts bringing out hearing aids, I think it's up to you now just to maybe have a word with them and say, you know, is this one of those new Bluetooth ones or ones that you can connect to the internet? And just ask them at that stage, you know, what's the likelihood they can get one of these new ones or something? Because, you know, they might put you on a trial and see how it goes. But I would personally, if I had my choice now and you could choose any one, I would definitely have the more modern one with the Bluetooth on it. But if you don't get the Bluetooth one, it's not the end of the world, because the T setting or the loop system is still in operation. It still works. I mean, you can still go to a library and put your T setting on, and it will connect with the library's T setting in their building, and you should be able to hear quite clearly what the teller is saying, and it goes straight into your hearing aids. So that's good. And all the phones that I was telling you about, that's on our Con Evans partnership website, they all have the T setting compatibility as well. But I think if you're looking into the future, it's starting to probably one day be replaced by Bluetooth, which is the newer digital version of all that. So watch this space. But if you think that you're very hard of hearing and you go for a hearing aid, just ask them, if they don't put it on automatically, which they sometimes don't, ask them, can I have the T setting put on? Because I think I will use that when I go to the bank or when I go into the library or when I'm watching the TV. And then at least you'll have that feature on there in case you need it.
Okay, yeah, no, perfect. While we're on the area of different types of hearing aids, I just kind of like can see that we have One question about can I get smaller hearing aids with the NHS? The person said they were feeling quite embarrassed by their large hearing aids.
Yeah, the history of hearing aids is quite funny in a way. In the 60s and 70s, they were very big, rubbery-looking bananas that stuck behind your ear, and they really were large, and they made your ears stick out and everything. And they weren't digital, so they were just analog, which means that all they really did was they took the sound in. I mean, they're clever in their own day, you know, in their day, but they took sound in through a little hole, it amplified it and sent it into your ears. But that means all of the sounds were amplified. Everything was louder, which meant that people got frustrated with them because it might have helped in some situations, but we know now that it's not so much about volume, it's about clarity. And clarity doesn't come automatically with volume. Volume just makes everything louder. So even if it's not very clear, it'll just be a loud not very clear. And yeah. So it helps some people, but not all people. So I think, you know, modern hearing aids now, since about, I don't know, about 1990 or so, they've all been digital. Analogs have all gone now. So in other words, you can get hearing aids now, which are much smaller because they don't need such large batteries. Battery technology has reduced the size of batteries now, and also the bits and bobs inside the hearing aids, they've all been reduced because of digital hearing aids, and the size of transistors and things like that have all come down. So those massive great big hearing aids, though, a thing of the past. You would have to have a specialist hearing loss to have to wear something, you know, that's obvious and sticks out a lot now. Your average medium to moderate to, you know, normal hearing loss kind of thing for the vast majority of people, you barely see them anymore. NHS give out not the smallest you can get, but they're not that big either. They're quite small. I mean, mine, you can hardly see mine. They're only an inch long, if that. And they're very narrow because of the battery size coming down. So in the old days, you know, like I say, you would really notice them from all angles. But nowadays, you only really see them when you go around the back of somebody and see behind their ear. But if they've got long hair, or they you know, a lady with longer or bushier hair or something like that, or a chap that even, you will only notice them really on bald people or people with very, you know, short hair nowadays. So don't let that be a barrier to you. If you want hearing aids and you want to hear things better, just go and have a look. You'll be surprised at what the NHS will give you. Private ones, they tend to be a little bit smaller, but you have to pay between £2,000 and £5,000 for your hearing aids then. And if you lose them, you just have to buy some more, and that costs you another £2,000 or £5,000. So on the NHS, if you do lose them, they will replace them, but for a much smaller amount. And I've heard good and bad stories about private, and I've heard good and bad stories about the NHS. So there's only 5 manufacturers, roughly, of hearing aids in the whole world. So, you know, the odds on is that if you get a hearing aid, it's probably going to be the same as one of the private ones, but with different wrapping on. So I wouldn't get hung up on, you know, going private to get a really tiny one. These ones that I've seen advertised on eBay and things like that, where they push in the ear and they're really little and they're invisible almost, I would steer clear of those because they're a bit of a... They use that kind of stigma to get you to buy them because they know that people don't want anybody to see that they've got a hearing aid. But actually, I've read a good review on how well they work, and they don't work as well as a standard NHS hearing aid, because they obviously haven't got the same gubbins inside and they haven't got the same features. So you would have to spend a lot of money. I'm talking probably £10,000 to get ones like that from a private hearing aid dispenser that actually do work. So don't be tempted by these cheap looking things on eBay that you think, oh, that looks good for 50 quid. That sounds like it's going to do the job, because it probably won't actually work very well.
Yeah. Okay, we are at the 15 minutes left mark, and I would just like to, I know you were going to return to the topic, but it's an important one for quite a few people that, I have met, is tinnitus, and if there are any tips to help people deal with tinnitus?
That was the last point I was coming to. I always leave it till the end because... It's kind of a weird thing. It is separated from hearing loss in some ways, but then in other ways it's quite related to it. So it all depends again what type of tinnitus you've got. Tinnitus as a definition is actually just any sound that you can hear that isn't from the outside world. So it comes from within your body. So that actually comes, you can actually hear blood rushing around your ears sometimes, and that's tinnitus. But because the noise of your blood is not coming from outside your body, it's inside your body, so that's why you can hear it. So tinnitus is a broad term that means any noise that you can hear inside your head that actually isn't coming from the outside. Now, but the common one that people refer to is the one that affects their hearing, and it sounds like there's a ringing going on in your actual ears. Or it's a ringing, it's a vibration, it's a clanging, it's a bird whistling. There's all sorts of different tinnitus sounds, and you'd be surprised at what people say that it sounds like. It's horrendous for some people, but if it's really loud and like a really invasive sort of sound, it can really drive you crazy. But the general average everyday tinnitus sounds like it's in your ear. Sounds like a kind of a whistle or a bell ringing or a ding-dong or a tweet-tweet type noise. And there's a lot of research going into it because technically we don't actually understand it very well still, but they do understand it to a degree. And they think now they've done enough experiments to work out that they think it's linked with hearing loss. Although it isn't hearing loss itself, it can cause hearing loss because obviously you can hear a bell or a buzz or whatever the noise is, and you can't hear somebody speaking to you because if you know a sentence is made up of high-pitched sounds and low-pitched sounds, and when tinnitus is dominating that range of sort of high-pitched level, it can drown out the speech part that's high-pitched. So you know it's almost like having background noise going on when you're speaking to somebody and they're talking to you. You're actually having to struggle to get past your background noise of the tinnitus to hear what they're saying or to distinguish what they're saying. So it's frustrating. Now they think what's happening is that the brain is struggling to hear. Now this is the tinnitus that they think is caused by hearing loss, the onset of hearing loss. So I'll just run through. So you've got nothing wrong with you. You're a young kid. You go to a nightclub. You come back the next morning. You notice you've got some ringing in the ear. That's short-term tinnitus. It goes away. You don't think anything of it. You go down the nightclub a week later. Do it all over again, and everything's fine. You get a bit of ringing. Disappears. So on and so on. But that person, as they age and their ears degenerate, and they keep abusing their ears, one day they'll wake up and that ringing might be a bit louder than it used to be, and sometimes it might last for a week, and then it goes. And then they get a bit more elderly, and age-related hearing loss sets in, and all of a sudden they notice that their hearing isn't so good, and tinnitus is there all the time. This is the general, you know, obviously there are people that don't fall into this same pattern, but this is the common one that everybody generally does. And then all of a sudden they go to the doctor and they say, "Doctor, I've got this ringing in my ears. What's going on? I can't seem to get rid of it." And they're putting their finger in their ear and they're giving it a waggle and they're trying different, you know, wax removals, and nothing seems to work. And that's because it's not in your ears. The noise that created by the onset of hearing loss and tinnitus that relates to that is actually in your brain. And it's because what happens is your brain starts to notice, without you even having to think about it, all automatic, that you can't hear what somebody's saying very well anymore. And it gradually gets worse and gradually gets worse. And the brain is suddenly faced with this, "I can't hear that anymore." And instead of actually just saying, "Oh, well, that's the end of that then. I can't hear anymore," and it gives up, the brain actually goes into this amazing thing, really. But it says to itself, well, if my apparatus on the side of my head can't pick that up anymore, what I'll do is I'll turn my sensitivity to sound up to make it, you know, even though the noise isn't any louder coming in, the brain's actual sensitivity to hearing goes up, and that's temporary when you're younger or you know you've got mild hearing loss, but then as you age and that happens over and over again, it kind of gets stuck in that mode, and the brain is constantly then trying to hear set more sensitively, and they think that is what the sound of tinnitus is. It's the sort of like the your brain overstretching itself all the time to constantly trying to hear everything around you. And really, they don't know how to get rid of it at the moment. We know, we've done some studies over the last 20 years that show that people that don't do anything about their hearing, once they realize that they've got hearing loss and they can't hear what they used to anymore, if they actually don't do anything about that, it's just that young kid who goes to the nightclub and then he gets older and then so on and so on, and he's stuck with it. And the tinnitus is there, the hearing loss is there, and he's not going to do anything about it, so he just basically can't hear the world very well. Now, if you do something about it, though, when you think about it, what can you do to stop your brain from straining to hear once it can't hear anymore? How can you turn it sensitivity off again so that you don't have to hear strain to hear anymore? Well, hearing aids. Hearing aids will give you the volume and the clarity that your brain used to have before it went wrong. And therefore, that might, if you catch it early enough, if you get hearing aids, it might then ease your brain, calm it down, reduce your tinnitus. That's why they say often, even if you can hear most things and it doesn't bother you hearing loss, don't just let it go, because untreated, it could then cause tinnitus, which is, to some people, quite disabling, you know. Mm. Other than using hearing aids and assistive devices which make you hear better to stop your brain from straining quite so much, there's no pill, there's no tinnitus reduction, there's nothing to actually get rid of it once you've got it and it's stuck there. So my first advice would be, if you think you're getting it and you notice it now and again, get your hearing aid sorted out early, then you might not develop it quite so much or at all sometimes. But you don't want to be leaving it for a long time, because like I say, your brain is plastic to a degree and flexes, but after that it will get stuck in that mode. Once that happens, the only real help for you is to get a hearing aid, which might help reduce it a bit, or you can go on this cognitive behavioral treatments where the doctor might say, we'll put you onto a course of 6 weeks cognitive behavioral therapy, relaxation techniques, things like that, where you'll go into a clinic and somebody will go through procedures, a bit like how you would get into yoga or meditation, and be able to actually tell yourself and talk yourself into believing that the tinnitus is lower, reduced, gone, doesn't bother you. But it's not actually reducing it physically. It's just taking your mind off it. So it's ways of distracting your brain from hearing it, if you like. So they can work. I mean, I've known people that have been on these courses and tinnitus doesn't bother them anymore. So I wouldn't rule it out. It's just that you can't take a pill and take that buzzing away. You just have to learn to get around it. But hearing aids, if you do get hearing aids, that can physically stop your brain from straining, and it can physically stop the tinnitus from being there or developing quite so early. So again, it's key. The key thing to remember from this whole talk, if you think you've got hearing loss, you go see your doctor. He'll check that it's not wax. If it's not wax, he'll send you to the audiology people. They'll assess you, give you a hearing aid that's specific to your hearing with a digital hearing aid, quite small. And then that will then stop your brain and your ears and everything from overstretching itself and causing other problems, other side effects from that. So that's my main message really from today. But that's tinnitus in a nutshell. It's just a sound in your actual brain, not in your ears. So you really want to, you know, if you can, get some sort of treatment or cognitive behavioral therapy or that type of thing, mindfulness. Another thing is they found out when it's not just a load of baloney, if you like, it's when you, they don't know why, again, it's very complicated what happens in your brain, but they found that when people are stressed, that can cause tinnitus. Even if you don't think you've got any hearing loss or anything. I had a colleague at work, she had perfect hearing as far as she knew, perfectly good, nothing in the family, no tinnitus. But when she got stressed and she had a deadline and this, that and the other, and she was putting a lot into it, tinnitus would come on temporarily. And that's because tinnitus is linked with stress as well. So, and I think, again, it's about this brain being strained. So the more you can, the more you're straining your brain to do all these different things all at once, that can actually bring on the tinnitus. So it's all about all mindfulness, all these sorts of things, relaxation, you know, aromatherapy, listening to relaxing music before you go to bed or to get you off to sleep, all that kind of thing, nice scents and smells in the room. That anything to do with calming your brain down will reduce tinnitus to some degree. Is that all right?
Okay. Well, that's perfect, because one of our future speakers is actually a wellbeing coordinator who's going to talk to us about mindfulness and wellbeing and run through some meditation techniques with us. So, yeah, that will be very timely.
Yes, that will be really useful. When he comes on board and he starts talking, could you just prompt him about the tinnitus thing? Because sometimes they don't connect the dots and they don't realise what they're doing actually could help a number of different things. They can't keep abreast of everything that their meditation can help. But we know that meditation, mindfulness and all those types of things that you can do with yourself help all sorts of different problems that your body comes under. It can manage its own pain. It's amazing, really. And the more you look into it, the more it seems to be linked to. So, and I've spoken to quite a few of those types of practitioners, and they're not aware of everything that it can help with. So I've broken the news to them that it can help with tinnitus, and they've been shocked. So it might be worth seeing if they actually know about the link with tinnitus, to see if they know what...
Yeah, we will. Yeah. We'll have a little chat about that before the session. It's one of our kind of like partnership organisations, and we work with them on a regular basis. But good point, thank you. Okay, well, Jason, we are almost out of time. Thank you so much. Let me see. We haven't really got time to open up the call, and I'm sorry for that. But if there are any people that would like to have any questions or comments they would like to make, please feel free to give us a ring on 01392 876 666, and we'd be happy to pass on any queries, any comments to Jason if they're relevant to Jason's talk today, or if there are any questions for myself or my colleagues, then please by all means call us on that same number. Jason, if you'd just like to give your contact details.
Any query at all, our website is really good. It's broken up into all the different sections. Anything you can imagine to do with hearing loss is on there, whether it's technical equipment that you might want, a phone or a personal listener or something to listen to the TV better. There's a link through to that Con Evans website. It's tinnitus, working with hearing loss, different things, modifications you can have at work. Oh, it's just a minefield of stuff. But it's on www.rnid.org.uk. And I would advise, you know, if you've got any query whatsoever and you can't work out the website, or you just fancy chatting to somebody, we've got an information line which takes calls from across the UK on anything at all related to hearing loss. And that's 0808 808 0123, And on a more local level, I'm the, like I say, Devon and Cornwall person. So if you're a member of a group or an organisation, even if it's like, you know, the Women's Institute or the local knitting club or Bill's salsa class, it doesn't matter. If you want somebody to give a talk over the phone or on a Zoom call or something like that, or actually one day in person, contact me and I can come and give a talk to your group on any of these subjects in detail or just a whole range of things, whatever you want. You know, I can fit it in whatever you want. And my name is Jason Sculthorpe, and you can reach me on jason.sculthorpe@rnid.org.uk, or you can just ring my mobile on 07393 147780.